Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out.
And I'm Steph Barnett, and today on the show,
transgender.
What does that word mean to you?
Also, Ivan interviews every man.
Of course he does.
No, cinema manager, White Ladies Building. Yeah. No.
Oh, and the Orient Express. Whatever happened to Dick Terps?
All that and more coming today, right here on Shout Out. Hello, everyone.
Good evening. He is prolific.
What are you laughing at?
Well, I don't know.
Who's prolific? Oh,
Ivan.
Dick Turpin.
No,
oh, right,
Ivan.
Okay. Ivan.
Yeah, yeah. He's talking about the Everyman Cinema, which used to be the White Lady Cinema. But
oh, you figured that one out.
Underneath,
now, did you?
Underneath is Dick Turpin's Tavern, and that is where I had a blind date with my current partner.
Oh, underneath?
Underneath the cinema.
Everyman, but that's underneath, like, ground level.
Yeah, but underneath was Dick Turpin's Tavern. Yeah, full of cannabis smoke because of students. You could, you didn't need to bring anything yourself. You could get high just on the fumes
so
of the place.
Is that now part of the cinema?
I think it's is it a steak place now?
Next door.
Well, that was where the bar was. And underneath was Dick Turpin's
Tavern.
It's called
Cow Shed now, yeah.
Oh, that's it.
It smells of steak these days.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. And I won't lie, actually, one of the best steaks in Bristol, in my personal opinion.
Other steakhouses are available.
I know, but not as good.
Oh, are they paying you?
No, I just
I want a cut.
We went there for Ivan's birthday, and we had that. They've got down underneath. They've got you can actually do like the chef's table, and you can sit there and you can see them. It makes your mouth water while you're waiting for your food. It's really bad, but they were doing it and just bringing it straight over to us. It's wonderful. It's
do
really,
they do
really
vegetarian
good.
Steaks?
What is the point of going to a steakhouse?
Well,
and
I don't. I'm vegetarian, so I don't
well,
go to steakhouse.
Well, not vegetarian, are you?
Yeah.
Are you? I didn't know that.
Don't you remember the sausage show we did?
Oh, right.
When we had the sausage inspector? You have didn't. Photographic evidence of the face I pulled when he was offering me a sausage.
This is going off on quite a tangent now.
The usual one.
We're talking about meat, were we not?
Yes. I didn't know you were vegetarian, but yeah. You're full of surprises, yeah. Really.
Can I just apologise to listeners, because we were tweeting this morning and yesterday that we were going to have Avon and Somerset Police in talking about male rape and sexual harassment. Unfortunately, they had to rush off and do something very, very urgent. So we've postponed that show. They are coming in. Hopefully that show will be on the 7th of December. So
these things happen.
Yes, absolutely.
So said we got you waffling. It's fine.
Yeah.
Hello, Tara. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I've been busy.
You've been busy.
Yeah, travelling back and forth between Bristol and Bath today, trying to move a business from Bath to Bristol.
So the traffic this morning, the fog. In fact, have you seen we're on a weather warning for tomorrow as well for fog? Yeah.
Oh, really?
It was lovely going into Bath this morning. It was it was just hovering into. You could see the valley. It was just thick, and it was the hills above were Lansdowne. Yeah. You could see right across. But it was
I do like those autumn mornings. When I used to work down at AstraZeneca, which is near Severn Beach, when you drive down Blackhorse, which is where Cribbs is, and you look across. Only the tops of the trees are visible. It's like an alien landscape.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The tenuous link with the LGBT community is some of those trees must be LGBT. Just reckon. Just saying. I think it's time for Outshout, don't you?
It's thin.
Okay. Yeah. That was me told. Okay. So, Tara with no Lara.
Hello.
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 What events have you got for us today, then?
It's a bit thin this week. I think it's because we've just had Halloween.
It can't be thin. We've got fireworks.
And we've got lots of fireworks. Yeah. So everyone's going to fireworks this weekend. But I have found there's a Harness Your Fittest Dance Club.
There's a what, sorry?
The Harness.
Harness.
First of the month, the Fittest Dance Club. And that is the beer bar.
Yes.
Yeah, so that is on a thing.
Is that to everybody? Bears? Not just bears?
Well, no, they're predominant markets, but no, it's
called the bear bar, I guess.
Yeah, but it's a lovely place. They've got they don't have restrictions.
No.
They're a lovely bunch.
Shout out award listeners for best bar as well. Many
I mean, I know it says beer bar in the front, but, you know, they've got they're soft and huggy underneath, I think.
Bears are soft and huggy. I'll ask Terry, he'll tell you that.
Oh, right.
Okay. So if you go in as Snow White... And
you don't leave the Snow White, that's for sure.
No, you think about Goldilocks.
Oh, that's it, Goldilocks. And the two dozen bears.
Yeah. So you want to be Goldilocks to you?
Yeah, and the 5-grain porridge.
You're still sleeping in my bed.
Milk free.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, right, so that's Hardis.
Yeah.
Have we got any fireworks ones in there? Or
I
not?
Haven't, actually.
No?
Because there's loads
of them.
There's always the one at Downend. That's the one I always go to be honest. Yeah.
Do they have one up on the Downs at all?
Matthew Tosher, though. Matthew, send us a tweet. Do something, Matthew.
He's probably flat out at the moment.
Yeah.
He is doing lots.
It'll be fireworks. Yeah. If you don't know, our own Matthew Tosh is a fireworks expert. This is his time of year, I think. Yeah,
isn't there a name for that?
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Pyrotechnic.
Because he's also a campanologist.
Yeah, but that's to do with bells. That's slightly different.
That's what I said, campanologist.
Yeah, so there's loads of...
I mean he's gay.
I never said he did.
Just because it starts with camp.
Sorry, Matthew. We will control her.
Yeah.
Anyway, other events, Tara.
That was me this week, I'm afraid, because it was a bit thin on the ground.
Short and sweet.
Sorry.
So everyone in Bristol go to the beer bar.
Well, there's a beer bar, but there's always the Queen's Shilling and there's a gin palace. You know, they're always open.
They were absolutely heaving at the weekend just gone because it was Halloween.
Yeah, absolutely.
Couldn't move in the old market.
And we should all have also got paid, so we should all be going out this weekend again.
Yes, that's
so
true.
You know, yeah. And there's never the gym pals is always a good
isn't
place.
It bad luck to because you've still got your Halloween stuff on. You imagine isn't it bad luck to
it's
keep
not
it
like Christmas.
No, okay.
Yeah, people just take the trees, keep the trees up now. They've got Halloween
trees. I got some
trees.
Makeup wipes in my bag, Andy,
We have a rule in our house. I mean, the other half does not like Christmas as it is.
Oh, right, okay.
But his birthday's at the end of November, so I'm not allowed to do anything until after his birthday.
Well, I think that's quite right.
Yeah.
Outside, we'd just go to town and cover the whole place in
first of December,
and,
then you can put your tree
oh,
up.
Oh, you guys, it's a bit early, isn't it?
Christmas Eve. Really? No. You go that late?
It's too much effort to leave it till Christmas Eve.
Yeah, you've only got 12 days then. Yeah, it's got to come down.
Yeah. I always think Case looks a bit...
He's really, really nice, my other half. He helps me get the tree and that's it.
I think there was a bar humbug from the other side of my monitor, don't you? In a Scottish accent.
So you like Christmas, don't you?
Oh, yes.
You go to town on it. But you don't, do you, Tara? Do your kids not love it?
Yeah, my kids love it. I get them 5 presents and that's it.
But you don't decorate everywhere?
I like it. I like the fact it's family together.
Well, I know that the Coca-Cola truck is due in Bristol around about the 14th of November. It's only that much.
Other fizzy drinks are available.
Well, the thing I'm really looking forward to is the Winter Wonderland ice rink up at Cabot. Cribbs Causeway.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I think that's open middle of this month, to be honest.
Is it?
Yeah. So that's where I'll be. I'll be there every weekend with the kids, probably.
Have we got German market again this year, do we know?
Yes, we have. We're not Brexited quite yet.
And Bath one will be kicking off soon as well.
Yeah, what will we have next? Well, when Brexit hits, then. Well, the not-so-German market.
Last Christmas, the people from Germany who came over, and there was also Spanish and French... market stalls and they were saying they don't know what's going to happen because if they had to come through a customs point and start paying duty on all the stuff they were bringing across and pay taxes on it,
it wouldn't be worth it.
No.
Oh, well, opportunities for Brits.
Yeah.
We'll if you can find an LGBT in part of the Christmas
and you've got a good German accent, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yes. Can you make gingerbread?
No. Make shortbread. Like shortbread.
Do you?
Hot chocolate. And Glühwein.
Anyway, I am going to get in so much trouble because we talked about Christmas this much at the beginning of November. So I think we should just like stop that right there. Okay. So thank you very much, Tara.
Sorry.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
But they never did ever lived, ebbing and flowing, inhibited, limited till it broke up.
And that's Imagine Dragons and Believe.
Yes. You knew we were talking about Christmas just the other side of this track.
No more Christmas. I was in so much trouble.
Have I seen a track there mentioning the word Christmas?
Yeah, you have.
I thought the station had an embargo.
No.
Really?
No. No, we might be the first people to play Christmas songs on BCFM. And the other six stations, yeah. Sorry, everyone.
It's okay, I'm really looking forward to the Christmas show, to be honest. That was like a Christmas special, I think it was great.
I did hear a Christmas record played on a radio station in June, but I think it was a mistake on one of those overnight things.
Let me just, talking of Christmas, before we get onto the transgender issue.
Trouble.
We were in Barbados, and the station, the 1st of October, started broadcasting nothing but Christmas songs.
Nothing but Christmas
songs. And it was going to do that until the end of January.
Dear Lord, they do like their Christmas in Barbados.
The whole station to just become a Christmas channel.
So my question is, because there's so many Christmas songs, there's so more than you. You think, oh yeah, there's maybe about 10, and then you realise actually there are dozens and dozens and dozens.
But why do you always hear the same ones every year?
Yeah, but everyone's done a Christmas single, haven't they?
Yeah, but it's the only ones you can listen to, isn't it? About 12.
How long do you think they could play Christmas songs without having to repeat?
I don't know. We were only in Barbados for 2 weeks.
I can tell you there is an online station called 1.fm, literally number 1.fm, and it's got lots and lots of different channels, and it has a 24/7, 365 dedicated Christmas one.
Wow.
So have a listen to that and tell us when it repeats.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll let you know.
We got past Halloween at least. Yeah.
So anyway, we ought to move on. As we said earlier, unfortunately, our original guests have had to postpone and we'll be in later on in the year, probably in early December, we think, which is a police force. So it'd be lovely to have them back in again. But in the meantime, it is right now, isn't it? It's transgender
awareness. But the thing is, there's some websites are clashing. I don't know whether it's because it's different countries. Some are saying it's over a 2 week period, and some are saying it's the whole month. Tara, have you?
I think it's just a week in England, isn't it?
I don't know. But some are claiming 2 weeks, and others I've seen claim the whole month as awareness. So we might fall in line, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, we're going to be.
Yeah.
What we need to know, what we've been asking around, is what does the word transgender mean to you? Because those of us who are transgender, it's a huge term that encompasses a lot, an awful lot. So we were asking, and I asked around in the coffee shop for people who don't identify as LGBTQ people, but straight people who aren't involved in anything LGBTQ or transgender, what the term transgender meant. Nearly all of them said that they thought it was a new word for transsexual. They didn't realise that there was all these other terms underneath it that included transvestite, crossdresser, which, going back when I was growing up, crossdresser, transvestite and transsexual were so different. And in fact, they were walled up to make sure there was no contact between transsexuals and the cross-dressing transvestite community.
Well, I think there still is, isn't there? Well, they are still quite separate. You don't have to be transgender to be a crossdresser.
No, but the thought is, has that word transgender become too wide? Does it describe too much?
Well,
does the phrase trans,
which is quite meaningless as a word on its own, because it's a precursor to other words, isn't it? Like Trans-Siberian transport. You know, it means nothing unless you put something on the end of it.
Yeah, the context of the sentence that you're saying. Yeah, but I mean, when you're talking about lesbian, gay, bi, and trans, you tend to mean
no.
Transatlantic Express.
The thing is that the trans thing is really, in the last 5 years, has come alive in this country. It's not just, you know,
that's mainly down to the youth who have got a new energy.
You know, and it's changed. You know, it's more accepted now, and you know that trans or whatever you want, genderqueer, you know, gender fluid. You know, all these different things are you know, people self-define who they want to be now.
But the problem is that might be the case, but When I was at Western Pride last year, I was talking to one of the drag queens performing. Now, that drag queen told me an experience that she had. This mother come to her with her child, saying, "My child is transgender. Obviously, so are you. Can you give me advice?" So the drag queen said, "Well, I'm a bloke. I do this as an act. I am not, I don't identify as transgender. I'm a drag queen. There's nothing to do with what you're talking about, which is being transsexual." But this woman did not get it. She'd only heard the word transgender and right. thought anyone who put, it was male, inverted commas, who put female clothes on was transgender.
Well, that's misunderstanding. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. But she still didn't get it when he explained. Yeah, he said, no, that's not the case.
So is there a difference between transgender and transsexual then?
Transgender is a term that's way up.
Yeah, it's more of an umbrella.
It's all-encompassing, because yeah. transsexual is somebody who's usually born with gender dysphoria, and that dysfunction then goes on to force you then to reassign.
But could I ask something, because I don't yes. know many, I mean, I don't know many trans people, so maybe I'm speaking from a place of ignorance here, but I think people who identify as transsexual prefer to go by transgender. Do they prefer that? Am I putting words into their mouth?
No, I prefer that.
Prefer
I am transsexual, but
right, okay.
saying that, that's a good point, actually, you see, because a few weeks ago I was chatting to Lara about the same subject, and Lara said that she thought the term transsexual was rude.
Pejorative. Yeah, no, I thought that was my understanding as well. See, I thought it was a rude term.
And I think it depends where you are, because if some, you know, you know and I know, that there are people there that go stealth, and after they've had this you know, gone through the process, they've transitioned, so therefore the word trans is no longer applicable to them.
No, that's true.
Well, you know? I mean, yep. if Mary was in the studio, she'd tell you exactly the same. When we first started out Shout Out, in fact, Terry, you're here, so, yeah, you know, when we first ever started out Shout Out, we very specifically wanted to make sure we covered as equally as possible the LGB and the T, and obviously as time's gone on, all the others have kind of emerged as well, and we're trying to do things to cover those as well. Bisexuality's always been one we've struggle with, full stop. But in the early days, we could not get anybody trans to come in and talk to us. And when we spoke to them, it was because they were like, "No, I have transitioned, and you know, I no longer identify as being anything to do with trans in any way. I am now
my actual
gender." And it made it really difficult.
I think people needed to hear what we were about as a program as well, and realise that we were not sensationalist, and we didn't have another agenda other than representing the wider LGBTQ communities. And once people figured that out, then we did begin to get trans members of the team come forward and take to the air themselves.
Yeah, I mean, with myself, I kind of identify female who's got trans history, and in that respect, I also think that I'm a bit more gender fluid than I kind of expected. I went through the process, got to where I want to be, and actually now I've figured out who I am and where I am in that spectrum, and I don't see it as purely male female anymore. I think of it as a kind of spectrum, and I'm happy to work in
which
that.
Is what a lot of youth feel, isn't it? And they're very confident about being gender fluid or gender neutral. And that's nice to see the confidence.
You'd never be ashamed of calling yourself transgender, would you?
Well, transgender is just an umbrella term.
You get what I mean. It's like, I am not afraid to tell anyone I'm gay.
No.
You wouldn't be afraid to tell anyone what...
If somebody asks, I usually say I'm transsexual.
Okay.
Because I'm not a cross-dresser, I'm not a transvestite, I'm not a drag queen, which also comes under the transgender.
You see, I wouldn't have put them under transgender.
Who?
What, drag queens and cross-dressing and the like?
I think it's how society looks
at
us.
I did not hear that. I'm glad you said that, yeah.
I've never thought of trans...
This is fitting in with the results I had from the coffee shop then, isn't it? Where people associate the word transgender as just purely transsexual, and they don't include transvestites, cross-dressers, drag queens.
No, I never have. Okay, you're the only person I've ever known that does.
Ah, okay. But then because I grew up where there was separation, and the wives were... And Tara will remember this as well. When we used to go to meetings... the cross-dressers or transvestites, their wives would sometimes be in the room going there, because then they could meet other wives who were going through the same sort of thing. But but the wives would try and keep their husbands away from transsexuals. And the transsexuals that we knew then only spoke about hormones and operations. So, and they seem to be obsessed with those two subjects. So you can understand that anyone who was just cross-dressing or was a transvestite, that they would be bored to death by the few transsexuals that were there, just talking about operations. And some of the experiences I've had where it be that the transsexuals would be sat with crossdressers trying to persuade them that it's the best thing since sliced bread.
See, because I don't know any drag queen that would say that they're transgender. No, unless they are transsexual.
No, I wouldn't. Not drag queens. Yeah. No.
But some transvestites would also identify as transgender.
I think so,
they?
Terry.
Because
that
sort of covers that. Mm. That's the umbrella term.
I mean, Tori, you ask a few questions.
Yeah, so I'll ask a few. So, you know, trans is the opposite of a cis. So cisgendered is born of.
I saw that reply. It made me giggle.
So, you know, that's, you know, and then the other one was, you know, it is about transitioning. It is, the word is trans. And then there's got someone else who said, I don't want to be in that box. I don't belong in that box. So it gives you the kind of, and that's three people.
It almost sort of forces you to keep remembering your old identity, which you weren't comfortable with, and that you
that's true. And I think it's about actually people being allowed to be who they want to be, and I think that's what comes down to, you know, Bristol Mindline Trans, their service they provide is for the whole spectrum of people, and that's what, you know, that's what they find, you know.
Well, in an ideal world, you should be able to identify however you choose and use pretty much whatever term you choose, really.
No, and I think today's society, and we're going in that direction where you can, and it's great that the kids of today can feel confident enough in our society that they can come out and identify as they want, that they can be fluid.
Mm. And one of my straight friends said the word he used was freedom. That's all it is. Mm. It's just people having freedom.
Exactly. Good word, Tara.
And that's
good
just
word.
Like, you know, and he gets that, and that's what it is.
So, out of interest, was there a generation split in the answers you got from different people?
Yes, in my case, there was. The older generation, as I said, just thought that the word transgender meant transsexual.
Right.
That was it. They didn't.
But the younger generation thought it was
the younger
more
generation
a different
was
conversation.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. The youngsters think totally differently.
It's interesting because I get the impression it's very similar to things like identifying as being gay or lesbian. The younger you go, the more it's more fluid and not so defined and boxed. It seems to be a general thing.
That's a healthy thing, I think.
It's very good, yeah.
You know, we'll eventually get to Star Trek.
Yeah. We'll eventually get to what?
We'll get to a kind of Star Trek where everyone can just be themselves and be who they need to be. Yeah.
Do you know, and on that note, I have to say it's very refreshing to see an openly gay couple on mainstream TV.
Yeah, well, that's what
it's... I mean, Carl was just like, oh, So, yes.
You know, and perhaps, you know, if people are allowed to be who they need to be, there won't be people transitioning quite as often either, because they'll manage to work out where they fit in on the spectrum and just live how they want to live. And need to live, and that's where we need to be.
Is that how are we for time, Andy?
We are running out. But.
Okay, we will be coming back on to this subject because things are changing as well, where people can self-prescribe, whether that's a safe thing to do or not, and good thing.
Well, there was a thing today about the waiting times, and they're saying that you don't need to go to a clinic to prescribe. You can get your local GP to prescribe your hormones, and so there's a whole
without the checks and balances.
There's fear there in the GPs, and you know, because actually they don't get much training in it, and that's where the problem lies at the moment.
And there's been some awful mistakes made by people getting it wrong.
It's not with high numbers.
No, but there's enough to warrant that tread carefully.
Sounds like another show in itself, that one.
Yeah, so. We'll be continuing that and asking around what people think.
And it is a very good opportunity for you to let us know your thoughts. So either email us, studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt, or just go to our website and there's a contact us form there that you can fill out if you'd like to get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. It's always great to actually have listener participation where we can actually talk about it. So that's shoutoutradio.lgbt is the website. So anyway, news is coming up next, so stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
See, that doesn't quite count as a Christmas song, does it? Hello, Lucy. She hasn't got her headphones on there. Hello.
Tara was distracting me.
Was she now?
Really?
Anyway, that
he's
is
doing what... handstands in the corner, and I was like, obviously, we haven't got headphones on.
That is what will Santa say when his friends find when he finds everyone swinging.
That's the title of a
yeah, that is, isn't it? It's by Bob Zuga. It's a remix. It's a fun one. So I have the Amazon Echo playing loads of songs, and it was one, and I did that usual. What's the app called? Shazam. I was like, oh, I really like that. So.
Excellent.
Right, are you ready now?
I'm ready now.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I just get my voice.
Poised.
Are you sure? Yeah, get cool. My voice.
Here we go.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 2nd of November.
Genesis Breyer P. Orridge, the post-gender founder of industrial music, has released a statement confirming that she is suffering from myelomonocytic leukemia, a potentially life-threatening condition. Chemotherapy has now started and Genesis is keeping her supporters notified via Facebook. Genesis has suspended an extensive tour pending the outcome of the experimental new chemo that she is undertaking. Since the countercultural high tide of the early 70s, Genesis has been working with experimental ways of living. She lived in a squatted commune known as the Coombe Collective, in which there were no boundaries. Even the toilets had their doors removed and all clothing was shared. Out of this collective emerged the seminal industrial band Throbbing Gristle and later Psychic TV. Genesis has experimented with paganism, the occult, and united with her wife, the late Lady Jane Breyer, to create a new identity which they called Pandragine. Meanwhile, her co-collaborator in Coombe, Cozy Fanny Tutti, has published her memoirs of living in such a radical milieu.
An activist with anti-fascist campaign group Hope Not Hate has spoken with the Jewish Chronicle about how they managed to infiltrate the extreme political right groupings in the UK to make a secret film about them for the internet. Patrick Masterson found that Holocaust denial and jokes were rife and conspiracy theories popular. He explained that the nature of much of this right-wing political narrative is fueled by the declining status of the heterosexual white male over recent years. Faced with the fact that groups like LGBT people and women, whom they regard as weak and inferior, have come so far in recent years, they resort to conspiracies such as the evil Jews are responsible for homosexual degeneracy.
Just a quick heads up on the gay press for you. This week, the November issue of the Aussie-published magazine DNA is out and contains features on marriage equality struggles, amongst other. Also out this week is the November issue of the classic British Gay Times, now marking its 45th year since its first incarnation as gay news. This month, they lead on the poison that has come out of the marriage referendum down under. Both magazines are available throughout our region.
The Quaker Lesbian and Gay Fellowship has been in touch. They've rebranded as the Quaker Gender and Sexuality Diversity Community, and they have a smashing new website which is mobile phone friendly. The Quakers are a form of Christians known as Anabaptists who emerged in the radical era of the English Civil War in the 1640s. Crucial to their beliefs was the idea that everyone could read and interpret the Bible in their own way and have their own relationship with God, which was an extremely radical idea in the 17th century. In the 19th and 20th centuries, British Quakers became associated with a type of pacifist democratic socialism, which saw them volunteer as medics in the First and Second World Wars. In 1963, their groundbreaking pamphlet, Towards a Quaker View of Sex, was published and advocated gay liberation and the essential spiritual goodness at the heart of all gay relationships. Quakers were among religious groups to help lobby for equal marriage.
Sir Elton John has been awarded an honorary degree by Harvard University, according to Sky News, in recognition of his lifelong work to end the AIDS pandemic globally. Elton created his AIDS Foundation in 1992 at the height of the health crisis, and since then it has raised £150 million. In recent years, Elton has also used his superstardom and immense popularity amongst the public to speak out in favour of LGBT and other civil rights.
Tonight marks the 35th anniversary of the start of broadcasts from Channel 4 in England and Scotland. Wales did not receive the channel for nearly 20 years because the frequencies were allocated to the Welsh language network S4C. In an age where there are hundreds upon hundreds of TV channels available and endless material on the internet, it is difficult to portray how exciting it was when the fourth network began programmes on that overcast November evening. Channel 4 was important in its early days for minority communities, as its remit was to cater for people who were often frozen out from BBC One, BBC Two and ITV. Its first director general was Jeremy Isaacs, who had previously worked for ITV, where he commissioned such seminal series as the award-winning World War in 1971. Mr. Isaacs is Jewish, and in his autobiography, he revealed how his heritage as a man from a minority group fueled his passion for the new channel. He also wryly observed that a broadcasting station that is not irritating Daily Mail readers on a daily basis is failing in its duties. And he was as good as his word. Channel 4 commissioned much regular gay and lesbian output during its first decade on the air, often flying in the face of public opinion. From all of us, happy birthday to Channel 4.
For these news stories and more from the LGBT universe, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Lucy Potter
and Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Do-re-mi.
Nice bit of whistling there, Terry.
Thank you. Oh, he spoke and he whistled at the same time.
Well, you nearly called me out there. I was with his mic up for a minute. that's a nice one. It's that same kind of ilk, isn't it? That kind of, you know. So with all these dark nights, I thought it was a bit fun to have a bit of, like, cheery music and, like...
Thank you, Andy.
You know. Free you like this kind of stuff. You're not like Lara. Lara just tells me all my music's terrible.
She does.
Yeah, but she doesn't know what iTunes is either.
No, I know. She didn't even know what an MP3 was. I mean, it was...
That's the youth for you of today.
I know, yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, you're not allowed to plug Spotify into a radio studio and play it. It doesn't quite work like that. So, anyway, Everyman Theatre. I don't know what this is about. Do you?
I think Ivan was. That's his normal haunt, isn't it? On the corner outside of the old cinema. I think that's where Ivan swings his red handbag. And he just happened to pass the manager of the of the cinema and managed to get an interview in between his customers.
Now, I've just walked through the beautiful Art Deco entryway of the building, formerly known as the White Ladies Picture House. Now it's known as the Everyman Cinema here in Bristol. And today I'm talking to Darren Armstrong, who's the venue manager here, and he's going to be telling me a little bit about this beautiful building. Hello, Darren.
Hello, Ivan. How are you?
I'm great, and I hope you're great too. We're sat here in this beautiful cinema. Can you tell me a little bit about the history of the building?
Well, yeah, sure. The White Ladies Picture House launched in 1921, and back in the golden era where, you know, cinema was the thing to do. It was an experience. It was something that people really, really were excited to pop into the cinema to see the latest production. You know, a big one-screener, epic building, beautiful building.
It was a huge screen, wasn't it? It has had a second story as well in there, a kind of mezzanine as well.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And that stayed as it was until 1978, when it was split into three screens.
I guess those were the economics of the time, were they, to bring as many people in to see as many films at the same time as possible?
Yeah, I mean, it was that around that time when multiplexes arrived, and the experience was different. It was all about having choice, you know, lots of different films being reeled out from Hollywood, and the White Ladies Picture House had to try and compete with that. So yeah, that big beautiful screen was split into three. Unfortunately, the picture house closed in, I think it was 98, 99.
And it was almost derelict, wasn't it? For about 15 years, this beautiful building sat here, basically falling to pieces, I suppose, with nobody really wanting to sort of restore it or do anything with it.
Yeah, well, I think there was a covenant in it that it could never be a picture house, a cinema again. And there were plans to maybe turn it into a gym and some flats. And the local people, you know, the local residents really, you know, petitioned hard and got a license to open it as a cinema again. And thank goodness Everyman came along, multi-million pound renovation. yeah, they did a truly outstanding job.
Well, I have to agree with you there. It is an outstanding job. At the same time, you haven't actually brought it back as a single screen cinema. I guess economics dictate to you what you can and can't do on that front. Mm-hmm. But you've really done a magnificent job of restoring and preserving a lot of the original features of the building, haven't you?
Yeah. It's screen one in particular is just stunning. I mean, remember the first time I walked in there, and you know, it gives you that wow factor, red and gold. It's like being in a period theatre.
It's almost like a scene from Moulin Rouge, isn't it?
Yeah,
when you
it is
walk
actually,
in there.
Yeah.
And with this beautiful, I guess you'd call it an oculus, this open circle in the ceiling as well, yeah. That was there, that's there and preserved. And it looks absolutely fantastic.
It does. It looks stunning. And you've got the infamous everyman sofas where you can, you know, it is a velvet sofa where you can put your feet up and it's really comfortable. And we give blankets out and, you know, you can order some food and drink to be brought to your table, your side table.
So going to the cinema has kind of become almost like what it used to be, I guess, a luxury evening or day out or afternoon out.
It's become an experience again, and that's very much what Everyman, the experience is. You know, sometimes people come not even knowing what they're going to watch. They just want to come for a date or a night out and just to enjoy, you know, having that experience, really.
And of course, we've talked about the building dripping in these Art Deco features in terms of the design. It's a Grade 2 listed building, I believe. Are there a lot of restrictions for you? Do you find yourself having to tiptoe around the fabric of the building in order to I suppose, live up to the regulations that you're supposed to abide by?
Well, I mean, you know, the restoration was done really sensitively, from original doors. It was actually the tower that does actually have the bas-relief on outside that made it into a Grade 2 listed building, which actually I think saved it from being turned into flats. That was what stopped any kind of planning being granted to change its use. The inside of the building, if you think you walk in, there's marble pillars still here. You know, it's mixed with contemporary decor. We've got a shining carpet upstairs, our shining corridor. You know, we're homage to the film The Shining. I think when you're in screen one, you just get lost in the magic of the film, really. Films like La La Land in particular were so special.
With that kind of contemporary feel to them as well. And of course, we've got another film coming up that's very much Art Deco in mind, Murder on the Orient Express. Yeah. I think it's probably about the third or fourth version or incarnation of the movie.
You're right, yeah.
I have a feeling this one is going to be particularly amazing. It's going to be starring Kenneth Branagh as Hercule Poirot, of course, Penelope Cruz, William Dafoe, Judy Dench, Johnny Depp, the list goes on. Any one of those stars in a movie would actually draw people in, but having them all, it's going to be something special, isn't it?
Really special. The trailer just looks really exciting as well. I think it's going to appeal to all ages as well, you know, those that have a bit of intrigue and nostalgia for the original films, and you know, for a new crowd as well. Everyone loves a bit of murder mystery, and with all those stars in it, it's set, it, you know, Oscar bait for sure. Really recommend coming to see that one.
And as I said, pure Art Deco. Now, it's launching in the US on November the 10th. Over here in the UK, I understand it's launching a few days earlier, and you're doing something special, aren't you, to celebrate?
Yeah, we're doing a really, really lovely soiree party. We've done a couple of these parties for other films in the past, and this one, you know, we're telling you to sort of dress in your sort of 20s, 30s finest regalia, you know, don your hats and your pearl necklaces and whatever. We'll be doing a nice soiree party with food and drink, and you can obviously then settle down to watch the film afterwards.
Sounds wonderful. Darren, thank you so much for talking to me. It's great to know that the Everyman Cinema, or the Old White Ladies Picture House, has been preserved for generations to come. And, here's to some celebrations coming up, hopefully soon, in your centenary year as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. We'll keep you posted, and thanks for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Darren.
You're welcome.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
And that's Anywhere and Arita Aura. I quite like that one.
Yes.
Rita Ora.
Did you say that was in the charts?
Yeah, yeah. It was, you know, I try and pick one from the charts usually each week. And
The Hit Parade.
The Hit Parade. He's showing your age. Like the iTunes chart, I think it's more commonly known as these days. Good Lord.
Those were the days of the light programme, Terry.
The light programme, yeah.
You're going to start talking about Top of the Pops next, aren't you? I used to like Top of the
Light programme was way before Top of the Pops.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that's what became Radio 2, the light programme, was the programme for the workers, the BBC service of the workers in the 1940s and 50s.
The home service?
Was for the intelligentsia,
that's
yeah.
Right. Radio 4, I guess, is the closest.
Radio 4, yeah. Yeah. Sorry, wittering away.
No, it's not.
Issue in their age.
So I do remember as a kid sat there listening to Radio 1 for the top 40, and you would have a tape in the machine, and you would have it on pause, and when he stopped talking and it was a song you wanted, you let it go. And they always talked over a bit of it, which I think they actually did on purpose, didn't
taping
they?
Taping it, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But when you weren't allowed to buy every record under the sun and you wanted to be a DJ like I did back then...
Well, records were so expensive. Singles were about £1.10, I seem to remember, and that was a lot of money in those days, actually.
In the 70s, I think I was paying 79p because I had a contract with Rediffusion. Do you remember Rediffusion? The Rediffusion shops?
Yeah, my grandmother had Rediffusion television, so she had some of the early cable channels, the very first ones.
Yeah, I bought my 45s there for the disco, so 45. The 79D.
Wow.
All the youngsters right now will be listening. Thinking,
What's a record?
Well, they still go, what's a CD? I mean, it's,
I know.
It moves on.
It moves on. Time
yeah,
has moved on.
Like we said earlier, we had the shock of our life last week when Lara went, what's an MP3? I was like, oh my God.
Dear Lord, gosh.
It's all about streaming.
Youth of today, eh?
It is, it's all streaming. So, but I have to admit, you can't really knock it. It is kind of, you know, good.
There's so much choice available now in music and so on. It makes it so easy for a small musicians to get their product out there into the marketplace and to show people what they're doing.
I don't think we have the days these days where like a single hit number one and stay there for weeks on end. It changes.
It changes every week, doesn't it? Yeah.
Whereas I do remember when I was a kid and a teenager, you could get like something at number one and be there for weeks and weeks and weeks.
I don't think it's important for young people anymore.
No.
It's just not got the same. You know, music is what they want to listen to, and it's usually something you've watched and to do with gaming. I mean, some stuff my kids listen to is actually to do with gaming. It's not even to do, you know, the music is based on the gaming.
Right, I see.
Yeah. So talking to gaming, Olympics.
Yes.
Indeed, yes.
We haven't been able to find much of an update, unless you have, Terry.
Well, there's a little bit of an update. Do you want to explain, Steph, what happened a couple of days ago?
We have to be quick. We've literally got a minute, so...
Egypt and Russia are threatening to disrupt what, inverted commas, world peace during the Olympics over LGBT rights. What they're refusing to do, according to LGBTQ Nation, is they're not going to sign what is Principle 6 of the Charter, which is about discrimination and sexual orientation.
And the Washington Blade today, which is a US gay magazine, has said that France and Brazil are spearheading efforts to stop that. So they're hopeful that enough countries will get on board to say to Russia and Egypt, no, you have to sign
Well, I guess Article 6. Will have to. How are they going to be able to take part unless they sign that?
Yeah, and of course, those Russia and Egypt are countries where there's real crackdown on LGBT and civil rights more generally as well.
Quite a few that have been like that recently, haven't they? Trying to crack down.
It's the world we live in, isn't it?
We live in an unstable world, don't we, at the moment? Yeah.
You've got to, you know, keep fighting for your rights.
Absolutely. Yep, I agree. Yeah.
Anyway, that's it for today's show. But as always, if you want to catch up or you missed a bit, just head on over to shoutoutradio.lgbt. I did buy
next
your
work,
bit, so
we're
you
off to the zoo. Are you trying to talk over my bit as well?
Sorry, do it again.
Do what again?
Your bit.
That's it for today's show, but as we always say, if you want to... What bit?
Never mind.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.